And you alone, Lord. You alone.
Thank you, Jesus. You are worthy of our praise. Amen. Please be seated. Thank you, worship team. Brother and sister, good morning. Are you all doing well? Yeah, thank you. Thank you, God. And for those who are watching online, I hope you are all doing well, because He's going to say something to you today. God is going to say something to you today. Today, my topic is greater the pieces that are left over. And my main scripture is in John chapter 6, verses 1 to 15. Shall we read together? John chapter 6, verses 1 to 15. Sometimes after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is the seas of Tiberias, and a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the signs he had performed by healing the sick. Then Jesus went up on the mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover festival was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "It would take more than half a year wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "He is a boy with five small barley loaves and two small fish. But how far will they go among so many?" Jesus says, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. After the people saw the sign Jesus performed, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world." Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. So, for many of us, this is probably the 156th time you have heard these scriptures, right? My sons George and Serena use 156 to describe many. As you read the story again, I encourage you today to approach it with an expectant heart, because God still has something else to tell you. We often think that the story concludes when the miracle of feeding 5,000 people appears, and then we all shout, "You are the good God of miracles." But today, God wants to tell you, no, this is not the end. My work is not yet finished. God also wants to tell you today, to tell you and to those who are watching online, God wants to tell you today, your life is not over yet. And what I want to do in your life is not over yet. When you thought you couldn't go on, when you thought this was it, when you thought there was no more hopes left, could it be possible for some of you here? You have been putting a full stop where God intends a comma.
Wow, come on.
Are you expecting God to show you today that something you thought was finished is actually ongoing? Sometimes it's us who prematurely cross road yet to be traveled. God wants to tell you, He is still at work today. Yes, he is. What he has to do is not yet finished.
Yeah.
Today, God wants to speak to you, especially those of you who have made some mistakes in your life. Mistake so big that you felt it's over. Because of this mistake, you felt God couldn't use you anymore. Because of this mistake, you thought He could find someone else to replace you. Because of this mistake, you believed God would never look at you again. If this is you, I want to tell you today, God wants to speak to you. Today, God wants to speak to you, especially to some of you here in the past days have been constantly giving, constantly pouring out, but which upon where you felt you couldn't give anymore. Inside you, there seems to be nothing left to give. You felt like you are done. You felt like it's over. If this is you, God wants to speak to you today. In the passages now, Jesus feeding the 5,000. After feeding the 5,000, many people felt that the story had ended. All those who had satisfied their hunger were worthy to go home. Then everyone would say, "Whoa, this is the best day of my life. We witnessed these 5 loaves and 2 fish being continuously broken and broken again in the hand of Jesus and his disciples, and yet they kept supplying all of us without end." Many people, after seeing this miracle, thought it was the end of the story, thinking it was a full stop. But Jesus said in John 6, verse 12, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing to be wasted." You may find it strange that Jesus instructs his disciples to do this, because we just witnessed Jesus' ability to multiply at that moment, right?
Yeah.
Jesus would have easily produced more bread, right? Jesus wasn't lacking bread because he is the God who can turn nothing into something. So, the question we have to ask it, the question we need to ask is, if Jesus is the God who can turn nothing into something, why does he care about these leftover pieces? Why could this mighty God care about this seemingly insignificant things? Why? I don't know if you ever ask God this question like I have. Why does God choose me despite knowing so many great people? It's like maybe you have been to a job interview where you knew there were many people competing for the same position, but somehow you stood out. You may have also found yourself surprised at asking, "Why me?" My previous life goal, was to become a famous pop music composer in Hong Kong. However, in 2008, after several prayers, I turned down a composer contract from a well-known music production company in Hong Kong. After rejecting this composer contract, it seems like I had put a full stop on my life. I felt like I had lost direction, and during that period of time, I kept looking for job and kept switching jobs. Then I had another job in the field opportunity in the same year. And the company was one of the largest real estate developers in Hong Kong. And I was interviewing for a junior position. I have no experience in this industry, but I passed to one of the interviews and made it to the third round. And I have no idea why this company need to do 3 interviews for a junior position. No matter what, finally, I arrived for this interview. There were only 2 people in the interview, myself and the general manager of the company. I prepared all the answers to questions I thought I would be asked as usual, but strangely, the general manager only asked me 1 question. Guess what the question is? He didn't ask me why I thought I was capable of the job, no. He didn't ask me how I could contribute to the company, no. He asked me this question, and this is the only question in that interview. He asked me this. Ben, have you ever been to Belfast? Have you ever been to Belfast?
No.
Upon hearing this question, I was shocked. I thought to myself, why? Why Belfast? Why? Why not other places? Because I had only returned from Belfast 6 months ago, before this interview.
Wow.
Whoa. Of course, the manager didn't believe me at first, but after I explained clearly my journey to him, he believed. And just like that, with 1 question, the company hired me.
Wow.
Brother and sister, just when I felt like I put a full stop on my life, it was a question, just 1 question in that interview. Ben, have you ever been to Belfast? From the depth of my heart, I knew that God was still looking out for me.
Yeah.
This insignificant person. It was as if God used this 1 interview question to tell me, hey Ben, your life is not over yet. This is just a comma, not a full stop. Keep moving forward. My work is not finished. And here I am today.
Yeah, amen. We're glad.
Last Sunday, our family had just returned from Finland.
Yes.
Originally, we were supposed to come back on Saturday, but the flights got canceled. So we have to stay an extra night. Interestingly, we had been chasing the law of lights for a week, but couldn't see them due to cloudy weather. However, on Saturday night, we unexpectedly saw them from our hotel room in the city center at 1 a.m. So Serena was sleeping. And I gazed upon the wonders of nature created by God. Psalm chapter 8. Verses 3-4 came to mind. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them. God, if you know and understand everything, every person and every situation, and you are such a great God, why do you care about us? Why do you care about us? God, you can create all the bread. So why do you care about these leftover pieces? When the miracle has ended, when everyone has been fed, when all needs have been satisfied, Jesus enters the disciple to do 1 thing, gather up the leftover pieces. Why? Because to Jesus, every single piece was important. Let me tell you how these leftover pieces were produced, and you will understand why they were so important to Jesus. brother and sister. I take this from my kitchen this morning. These loaves were supernaturally multiplied. But how did this multiplication happen? It wasn't like Jesus blessed the bread and then suddenly, bang! All the loaves explode out in an instant. No, no, it's not like this. It's not bang. And then, no, 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 no. The actual situation is described in details in another gospel. Matthew chapter 14, verse 19, it says, "And he commands the multitude to sit down on the grass and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. And looking up to heaven, he blessed it and break and gave the loaves to the disciple and the disciple to the multitude." You see, when Jesus broke it and passed it to the next person, that bread multiplied. Yeah. And then the next person broke it and passed it to the following one, the bread multiplied again. Yeah. So, brother and sister, it was the brokenness that brought the blessing.
Come on.
It was the brokenness that brought the blessing. The bread was broken to bring blessing. While everyone see their blessing, no one realized that it was actually the brokenness that brought about the blessing.
Wow, wow, wow.
On that day, there were many people with 5,000 men count alone. If we add the women and the children, it should exist 10,000 people. Each of these 10,000 individuals had their own need. Just dealing with the need of my 3 children at home sometimes made me feel overwhelmed. Serena is here. The most frequent word I utter throughout the days are, "George, stop. Serena, stop." Because they are always arguing with each other. Is it, Serena? brother, sister, have you ever imagined that it must have felt like for Jesus to face the lead of 10,000 people on that day? Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Each of those 10,000 people hope to receive something from Jesus. Why did so many people come to Jesus? Because the people know they can get something from Jesus. They knew Jesus could help them. But when 10,000 people came before Jesus, it was not easy for him. Even his disciples found it extremely challenging. But when that bread was broken, it multiplied. It was the brokenness that brought the blessings. God wants to expect appreciation to many of you here and many of you who are watching online today. Many of you here, only you know how you have blessed those around you, how you have blessed your family, how you have blessed your team. And it came from the sacrifice you have made. It came from your tears, came from your pain, and this tear, this pain, this hardship, nobody knows. Nobody can feel, nobody can understand. To the parents, grandparents among us, how much tiredness and tear have you endured for the needs of your children or grandchildren? For the sake of your household, you face people you'd rather not see and hear words you rather not hear every day at work, yet you persist. When your children, grandchildren experience those blessings, they don't know the cost you have paid. To the servant of God among us, to all the leaders, all the pastors, I believe that as you serve and lead, you have felt tired, rejected, and even attacked. I can also tell you how many times I didn't want to serve God anymore. Feeling too exhausted when those you need no longer follow you, and people even start to attack you. Yeah. But I believe that each of you here is bearing some kind of cost for certain people. We all know that your life is about serving others. Many times, we still have to serve others while facing our own pain, our own problem, our own issue. Even when we don't have strength to pay for ourselves, we continue to pray for others. Right? I believe that everyone here understands what I'm saying when you truly serve. Do you know why Jesus cares so much about these leftover pieces? Because the bread that was broken is not just bread. It's Jesus' body. It's the body of Jesus Christ. In the same chapter, John chapter 6, verse 35, Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life." So what the disciple broke and gave wasn't just bread. What they passed on was the life of Jesus. Every time someone break the bread, it foreshadows the breaking of the body of Jesus Christ for you and me. When Jesus saw the bread being broken, he thought, "My body will be broken for these people." As the next person breaks the bread and passes on to the next person, Jesus thought, "The soldier will twist together a crown of thorns and put it on my head." And he observed the next person breaking the bread and passed it on. He thought, "His thoughts turned to the pending crucifixion, envisioning his hand and feet being nailed and his blood being shed to cleanse each one of us from sin." While everyone see only blessing and feel satisfied as they partake, Jesus see the cost he is about to bear. Yeah. It was the brokenness that brought the blessing. Yeah. Do you know why now? Sure. Do you know why he cares so much now? That's how important each piece of bread is to Jesus. When you are going through all this in your life, constantly giving, and giving again, even when you are exhausted, yet you still bear the cost for the least of others. You know what that feeling is like. But today, I want to tell you that Jesus knows how you feel. Jesus knows. He knows how you feel. Jesus knows the difficulty you face in the process, the struggle it brings you, the pain you carry inside. Jesus knows it all. While others only see the blessing, while others only see the miracle, Jesus sees the struggle within you. Jesus sees the pain carried inside that no one else can see. Most people see only the miracle, only a few, even none see the brokenness within you. People will never know the price you have paid. But Jesus knows. But Jesus knows and he understands because he has walked this path too. So, brother and sister, if you are called by God, well, we all called by God. Actually, each one of us will experience such things just like Jesus. But Jesus wants to say this to you today. Listen, even the broken part in your life, even the broken parts in your life, they are important to me. Awesome. The leftover in your life, they are important to me. And Jesus says, I'm going to save them. I'm not going to throw them away because I know the price you have paid. He said to the disciple, gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing to be wasted. Brother and sister, constant giving is a challenging. Constant forgiveness is a challenging. Constant serving is challenging. And being lifelong parents, grandparents, is not an easy task also. And sometimes, maybe we said, I don't care anymore. In your exhaustion, in your pain, in your loneliness, if you said this, I don't care anymore. Today, I want to encourage you. For the fruit of the tree for which you have been bearing the cost all this time, peace, don't give up. Don't give up.
Wow.
Don't try to cut down this tree. And Jesus says, gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing to be wasted. Nothing. Because everything you will see is valuable.
Yes.
You will see it. You will see it. He said to his disciple, gather the pieces that are left over, lest nothing be wasted. So they gathered them and filled the 12 baskets with the pieces of the fried barley loaf left over by those who had eaten. After the people saw the sign Jesus performed, they began to say, surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world. Jesus, knowing that they intend to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to the mountain by himself. Jesus is there. Whenever someone needs help, whenever someone needs prayer, whenever someone needs the heart, he is there. But even Jesus, in this process, he felt exhausted. He withdrew again. The word again indicate that he did this for several times already. He withdrew again. Brothers and sisters, don't forget, God placed you in the midst of the crowds to be a blessing to others. You cannot live a selfish life, but you need to understand this morning, you cannot find your own satisfaction in the crown. You cannot find your own satisfaction in the crown. The crown is the recipient of your blessing. I know that in the process of blessing others, you will feel exhausted. You feel tired. Even you think you're burning out. If you're a parent, if you're a grandparent, if you're a leader, if you're a pastor, you will understand it. Don't forget and don't assume that those people have received something from you, you will also receive something from them. Don't assume that. Jesus fed the crowd. He broke for them, but Jesus knew clearly that it was the Father. It was the Father who personally fed him. Brother and sister, only your Heavenly Father can satisfy your need. Only Father. Only your Heavenly Father can satisfy your need.